Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
And welcome to episode 235 of Geek Town Radio. I'm back this week with Gray.
Hello.
How you doing?
I am really good. Or should I say happy 2-year anniversary to me? It's 2 years on as contributor to Geek Town.
Oh, wow. Yes. Awesome.
I know I'm not the longest, but yeah, I just realised recently, 2 years, January 2018, I joined you.
Ah, cool. Yes, that is good. Yes, nice anniversary. It's your first one of this year as well, isn't it?
It is my first one of this year. I haven't chatted to you since about early December.
Yes. It's been a few weeks with the Christmas break and stuff. So what have you been up to?
Well, I've been sort of resetting my TV and film viewing life for the new year. I am on my way to... leaving a very big branded streaming and TV recording service, and I'm going to change. So basically, I'm getting rid of Sky at the end of February, and I'm going to go to Now. So I've been sort of changing the way I watch TV.
Okay, yeah. I'd be very interested to see how that works for you, because I've been saying for a long time now that if you are trying to save money, that seems like the most obvious way to do it, because everything that is on Sky is pretty much on Now TV, I think. So, you know.
Yeah, I'd be interesting to hear other people's opinions if they want to share them on Twitter. But I have just been struggling with, I have so much on there that I'm not watching that eventually I get to about a year down the line and decide to just delete it anyway. And there's so much good stuff coming on all the other streaming networks. And I, like many people out there, I want to be a Disney Plus viewer. So I had to make that decision. I had to look across everything and go, what do I want to keep? What do I want to lose? And there are some things. You know, I am someone who watches like the Chicago franchises, who watches like Flash, Supergirl. And so I'm like, I think I do want to keep it, but I'm happy to box set binge them. So
I mean, you don't need to even box set them, because I mean, they come on weekly onto Now TV anyway. Mm. So because I think Matt actually has Now TV rather than Sky, and he does, you know, all the superhero stuff weekly. I mean, he podcasts about them weekly.
Yeah.
So he does the weekly, and the Chicago things will come on weekly. I don't know whether they will actually stay on there as box sets. I'd imagine the Chicago ones do. I don't know how long they actually stay, but yeah.
So that's my biggest thing. So I've been watching a lot of like non-Sky stuff, because I'm getting, you know, I've got a little bit more free time again. So I finished Schitt's Creek season 4.
Yep.
Got season 5 to catch up on before the final season coming out later this year.
Cool.
I finished in a weekend, because it was only released on Friday, Grace and Frankie season 6.
Yes, that was quick.
Really quick. I really enjoy it. I was traveling on a train a lot this weekend, so I was doing 3 or 4 episodes on each train journey, and it was just nice. It was fun. It was a really good season, actually. Good. I do like their cyclical nature of the season. So if you know what I mean in their cyclical nature, and how they get to the end episode again is really beautiful. And I just really like the performances in there. So 4 really good actors. And if anyone is a Grace and Frankie fan, go and watch it. If you've never seen it, try the first half of season 1, and if you like it, then you know, get yourself through ready for the final season, which comes out next year.
Yes.
And then I am valuing our terrestrial TV. I've really been getting into some really good gritty dramas that you can watch or stream. So White House Farm, which is on ITV1,
yeah.
which is based on a true story. Then you've got Vera. I love Brenda Blethyn. I just love the detective and the story and the scenes and the accents, everything about it. I'm just in a bit of love with that. Deadwater Fell, which is the David Tennant Channel 4 drama.
Yes. Has that been any good? I haven't watched that yet.
Well, I watched episode one and I was just so desperate to watch episode two straight away that I sort of said to myself, I'm going to hold back a little bit and watch them both together, two and three, and then I'm away on holiday next week. So by the time I get back, four will be ready, because it's a sort of, there are a lot of cliffhangers that you're like, oh my God, I've got to wait a week. And it's one of an unusual drama for Channel 4. They didn't drop it all. They are weekly on a Friday. You have to tune in to watch it.
Right.
So it's really good. I just want to get all the secrets out. There's loads of secrets in there and you just want to know how it's going to end and, you know, who did it sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then for my sins, I'm still watching Death in Paradise after all these seasons. Because it's just great, simplistic, structured television that you know how it's going to happen and you know the formula. Really loving my BBC and ITV stuff at the moment.
Yeah, they're changing the lead in Death in Paradise again, aren't they?
They are. Ralph Little is coming along later this season. So yes. Ardal O'Hanlon takes his leave a couple of episodes in, I think, and then Ralph Little will be joining later on in the season.
Cool.
And then trying to regain my love of films, because Dave, as you know, you recruited me as a contributor because I was going to be your film guy. Since then, I've left teaching film studies. I've given up my cinema card and I've been really bad. But I've been like trying to watch a few of the great films from the last few years, maybe, that I've missed.
Yeah.
In the past 4 weeks, I did Paddington 2, John Wick 3, Murder Mystery, The Hustle. And earlier today, I finished watching The Miseducation of Cameron Post,
right,
an indie film from last year. And you know what? I'm really enjoying it. Giving myself that 2 hours every so often just to sit down, watch a film. And I'm like, yes, this is you know why I love films, and I need to try and get back into it and do more for Geek Town. I'm
yes,
a very, very bad film contributor who just rejected films for a bit.
Yes. I think sometimes you need to do that. I think you need to step away, particularly as you were teaching it as well. So it kind of, yeah, that and doing the site and all that sort of stuff. So, you know, I'm glad you're getting back into it though.
So that is pretty much me. It's quite a little bit. I haven't done much. Christmas was very busy. I didn't spend too much time watching television. So Dave, what have you been doing in the last week?
Well, in the last week, I've watched first episode of AJ and the Queen, which is the RuPaul drama comedy, which is on Netflix. And it is, I think, probably his first dramatic role. He's mainly kind of does reality shows and that sort of stuff. It's certainly that I haven't seen him in anything, or him, her, in anything dramatic recently. It's essentially, I mean, they play a drag queen in it, and they are buying a new club with his partner, and there's sort of an incident with the money and he ends up having to go back on tour. There is a little kid who's a bit of a hustler who bumps into him, and it ends up with the kid hiding out on the tour bus. So that's the sort of basically setup of the AJ and the Queen. That's essentially the idea behind it. It's quite funny, the first episode of that. I quite enjoyed it. I was watching it because I was interviewing somebody related to it, so that's why I started watching it. It's not really a show that I would usually go to, but I did quite enjoy it. It is worth looking up if you like RuPaul, definitely.
A good friend of mine told me I should go and watch it, and so I need to get through Titans first, and then I'll come back.
Yes. I finished Titans. Titans I really enjoyed. I'm still working my way through Doom Patrol as well. I love that Doom Patrol is much weirder than I ever thought it was going to be, which I know sounds strange given the cast lineup for Doom Patrol, but as I think I said to Bex last week, has far more in common with something like the weirdness of the Umbrella Academy than it does with Titans. You know, yeah, it's strange and odd and goofy, and I rather like that about it. So I'm really enjoying Doom Patrol. I like the second season of Titans as well. I like what they're doing with that. The other show that I ended up watching again, because I'm supposed to be interviewing somebody that works on it is The Outsider, which I kind of avoided because it's a Stephen King thing and I don't really do horror stuff, but this is far more a Stephen King kind of thriller with some horror sprinkled on top type of thing. And it's Jason Bateman, who is from Ozark and Arrested Development. He's also, as with Ozark, you know, it's very much his thing. I think I'm guessing he bought the rights to adapt it because he's starring, well, it stars in the first couple of episodes and also is directing it as well. So, or certainly directed the first episode. I think he probably directed some of the others as well. I'm not sure. I'm guessing it's a thing that he's exec producing. But I'm really hooked on it. It's a really solid HBO drama. It's very much in the vein of something like a True Detective or something like that. It's that sort of weighty kind of drama to it, but it does have this kind of weirdness sprinkled over it as well. And it's about there is a murder of a small child. They arrest the Little League coach because his fingerprints are all over the murder scene. And then it gets a little strange because he's swearing up and down that he was nowhere near the child, he was nowhere near the scene, and in actual fact he was in a different county at the time. So that's where the strangeness comes in.
Oh,
but it's really, really enjoyable. The third episode has just gone out and I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but that's been really solid and I'm very hooked on it. So I'm looking forward to watching more of that. It was one of those things that I went to look to see if they dropped it all as a box set, and because it's a HBO import and they're doing it, I think, time and place with HBO, they're releasing it weekly rather than dropping it as a box set, which is annoying. The Rookie also came back, and it's Nathan Fillion as the oldest rookie in the LAPD. really fun, really enjoyable. I love the first season of that. Some few cast changes in the second season because there were things that went on behind the scenes, which we won't go into here, but ended up with one of the cast members leaving. The second season's kind of leaning in a bit more to the comedy than it had done before, I think. It's still sort of a drama, but it's very much in that castle vein of sort of dramedy kind of area. And it's leaning into the comedy a little bit more than it did do previously. So I'm enjoying that. That's good fun. And Cobra as well, which is the new Sky series. And it's about a crisis event. And the crisis event is actually solar flares off the sun, which you wouldn't think would cause a crisis. But I actually looked it up afterwards going, is this true? And yes, it is. Apparently, some solar flares from the sun can actually cause catastrophic problems on Earth due to it messing with the electrical magnetic fields. So, that was kind of interesting. The basis of it is that. And Cobra, of course, is the crisis group within our government.
Yeah.
And it's about the formation of that group and sort of how they deal with this crisis when this solar flare hits and basically knocks out power across the country. So that's the sort of setup for it. It's interesting. It's one of those shows that I expected it to go a little bit further than it did. It's very much still based in a sort of reality, which is fine, but I wanted it to go a little bit, you know, maybe go a little bit more off the rails, you know? You know what I mean? You know what when you see things like the thing that Russell T. Davis did a while back, which was set in a sort of near future or...
Years and years.
Yeah. Which, you know, paints this very kind of dystopian future. But I don't know. I just wanted it to go a little bit more off the rails than it is doing at the moment. And it may get there. I'm about three episodes in because that is on as a box set and they're putting it out weekly. It's not maybe quite reaching its full potential at the moment. It's very well acted. It's Robert Carlyle in the lead playing the Prime Minister. And I mean, I'm enjoying it. I don't know. Maybe it's because watching too many episodes of 24 and, you know, they set off nuclear bombs and things like that. I don't know. It just seems a little bit restrained right now. And I kind of would like it to push itself a bit more than it is doing, but still very enjoyable and very well acted and stuff.
I downloaded it. I saw it advertised all over London at the weekend.
Yes,
and I was like, yeah, I'll download it. I'll see. Obviously, I'm seeing out my Sky subscription, but I thought, you know, is it something I could get through before the end of February? So
yeah, it is all on there, and it'll be on Now TV as well. If you're replacing your Sky with a Now TV box, it will be on Now TV, so you'll be able to watch it on both of them, I would think.
Excellent.
The other big thing that I did this week was the Star Trek Picard premiere, which I went down to with Bex. And we originally, we weren't going to be doing the red carpet interview stuff. But when I got there, I kind of twisted the arm of the PR person and they let us on. So I shoved a mic into Beck's hands and say, here you are, interview some Star Trek people.
Oh, excellent.
So there is a video up on the website of the red carpet with me filming and Beck's interviewing. We got to chat to a few different people at that event. Didn't get Sir Patrick, unfortunately. He was, I don't think he did the red carpet at all. I mean, he was there and did a bit up on stage, but I don't think he actually walked the red carpet. And I mean, the guy's what, late 70s at least at this point. So, you know, I think that's fine. And it was quite cold outside. So, you know, so we didn't get to actually talk to him directly. We did talk to Issa Bronies, who is from American Crime Story, is the only thing she'd really been known for, who plays a new character called Deja. And that's about all I can tell you about her at the moment, because I can't say anything about the actual episode because it's all embargoed until it goes out on Friday. So I can't tell you anything about what I thought of the episode. I think I could probably say you're not going to be disappointed if you're a Star Trek fan, but I can't give you any kind of context or anything to that. But Deja is a new character. She can't say anything and hasn't said anything about who she is. There's lots of theories floating around online. You do find out very early on in that first episode who she actually is. So it's not like something that they drag out for ages. Michelle Hurd was there and got a little bit chat with her. She's been on Blindspot and a whole bunch of other things. Harry Treadaway was there, got a chat with him. He's from Mr. Mercedes and Penny Dreadful. He plays a Romulan called Narek. Then there was Jeri Ryan, who is Seven of Nine, of course, and she was lovely. And Jonathan Del Arco, who plays Hugh, who, for those of you who know Next Generation, know he was Hugh was a Borg, or former Borg, independent of the Borg Collective. And Jason Isaacs as well. We said hello to Jason Isaacs because he was there and supporting his fellow kind of Trek cast members. He's not actually in this, but he was supporting people. We also got to talk to the creators and writers, Michael Chabon and Kirsten Beyer as well. That was lovely. Yeah, they were all great. And it was lovely to be able to kind of talk to people. It was quite difficult doing some of the interview stuff because you're like, it was very, very noisy. There was a PA system going off, so you were kind of talking over that. But it was great. There is a video up there. You can see all the stars walking the red, or in this case white carpet, and I'm not entirely sure who thought a white carpet would be a good idea in the middle of winter in the UK, but you know, there you go.
I'm almost tempted, Dave. I'm always tempted. The marketing and PR they've done for it has been really impressive, and I saw Sir Patrick being interviewed on the TV and I was like, I'm almost tempted, but can I get into it? Can I let sci-fi into my life?
It's a tricky one, that Picard series, because there are so many callbacks to older series in that. Discovery is probably a better place for you to start if you're going to try and get into it, because there's so much of sort of callbacks to Next Generation in this show. You can tell that just by the character listings, you know, because you've got Jonathan Frakes' Riker showing up, you've got Deanna Troi in there, you've got Data in there. So yeah, it's one of those shows that I think might not be that accessible unless you know something about Next Generation to start off with. So, but you know, it is good. Yes, I can't say any more than that. I don't want to get in trouble, but yes, it's out at the end of the week. You can watch it from Friday the 24th on Amazon Prime in the UK. It's on CBS All Access in the US. So on the 23rd, so and 24th in the UK on Amazon Prime. But I do urge you to go watch it if you are a fan, even a small fan of Star Trek. And if you didn't like Discovery because you didn't like the direction it took, this is probably far more up your street. It's not Next Generation. It's a very different sort of show to Next Generation, but it is a continuation of that timeline. So it is worth watching, definitely. The other thing as well is there is an interview going up later this week with a cinematographer called Yamit Shimonovich, who is the cinematographer for two wildly different shows. One of them is part two of the Surviving R. Kelly series, which is airing over here at some point. I'm not entirely sure when, but it is, if you go and check your Sky guides and stuff. It is on there. Netflix's The Goop Lab, which is equally controversial, but for entirely different reasons. That is the Gwyneth Paltrow series. She was also working on that. So yeah, two kind of more different shows you probably couldn't have. I mean, I'm sure I share the feelings of quite a lot of you about like the idea of Goop as a product, but... Yeah.
Have you heard about the candle, Dave?
Yes, I am aware of the candle. I am aware of the candle. I'm tempted to watch it out of a morbid curiosity because when I did the interview, it wasn't released. But she was the cinematographer on both of those. And we do talk about quite a lot in that interview about sort of lighting for, and working with something like Goop Lab and also on the complete opposite end of the scale, working on something like Surviving R. Kelly. So she was very interesting to talk to. That interview will be going up later in the week. So that's all the stuff we've been doing. Here's the TV and film news.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We kick off the TV and film news this week with some huge announcements from E4. E4 have announced they have not only picked up the Batwoman series, they've also picked up the DC Universe Harley Quinn animated series, which if you listen to the interview last week, one of the interviews that went out was with the composer for that series. And also they have picked up Supernatural seasons 14 and 15. So... there you go.
I can't believe I was speaking to you about this in our last chat in December and our one before that in November. So obviously I'm only on every 4 to 6 weeks, but this has been our conversation strand every time I've been on.
I know, it's ridiculous. And I mean, I'm happy that somebody has it. I just hope they put it on air in a relatively timely fashion. We still don't know when the other shows are coming back yet. All I can tell you is they've not shown up in any of the press information yet. And the weekly press information goes up until the first week in February. And they're certainly not on the schedules for that. There has already been a sort of here's stuff coming in March, which they put out. And because it's returning shows, they don't always put like the returning shows in that document, otherwise it'd be like huge. So they're not mentioned in there, but that doesn't mean they're not coming in March. Mm. It doesn't mean that they're not coming later in February either. We just don't know at the moment. I suspect it's either going to be late February, early March, because that's when they usually air them. And I think that's probably when they're going to bring them back. But at the moment, we don't know. And that will give E4 a little bit of time to be able to schedule at least some of the Batwoman episodes. They're not going to get all 9 out before we get to the Crisis episode, but at least then you can hold on to the Crisis ones and then slot the Batwoman one in, you know.
Unless they do a really nice thing and drop it as a box set. I know they probably wouldn't do that, but
no. It would be nice if E4 just put that one Batwoman episode up on all four. I would be quite appreciative if they decided they were going to just like put that one episode up so people that were watching on Sky could catch up with it, but I'm rather suspect they're not going to do that. Or they could put like the first 9 episodes up on they're not going to do that.
Or they could do a 2-week extravaganza where they just put an episode on every night of the week to help truth. We're living in a dream.
We are. Well, it's the same with Supernatural, because we're an entire season behind on Supernatural. And I mean, if I was them, I would either drop the entire season on all four or put it out daily and do it that way and just run season 14 out daily and then run season 15 weekly.
Yeah.
Otherwise, that way you only need like a month or so to actually run season 14 if you're going to put it out daily, you know, every day of the week.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I
can see them doing like bumper nights, like two episodes maybe a night. That gets a season through in like 3 months, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, because at the moment, if you're going to run season 14, even if you started it from their next available slot, which I think would be early February, even if you started it in early February, you're talking about season 15 not arriving until July. So...
Yeah,
it's going to be a while off. I mean, it does mean that they could run season 14 and 15 back to back, but at the moment we don't know. We may know later in the week what's happening with Batwoman, what's happening with Harley Quinn, and what's happening with Supernatural. I have seen the first episode of that Harley Quinn series. It's brilliant. It is hilariously funny. It's very adult. It's lots of swearing. This is the one with Kaley Cloku doing the voice for Harley, Alan Tudyk doing the voice of Joker. It's sort of follows the same idea as the film, with the sort of emancipation of Harley Quinn from Joker. That's the basic premise of it, of her kind of leaving Joker, realizing that he's a bad part of her life. It was really, really funny, that first episode. And apparently, from having talked to Bex about it, she's saying that friends of hers that are in America that have seen more of the episodes are saying that that is actually one of the weaker episodes and it gets better from there. So,
oh, good.
I'm very much looking forward to that. As I say, no dates for any of those. They just announced, hey, we've got all this stuff, and then didn't give any actual dates or any idea of when they're coming. At the moment, we know it's not in January. It could possibly be early February because their schedule hasn't gone out for February yet, but we'll see. On top of those, Channel 4 have also picked up the Amy Poehler animated series Duncanville, which follows a spectacularly average 15-year-old boy and his immediate family. Duncan can see adulthood on the horizon, money, freedom, cars, girls, but the reality is more like always being broke, driving with your mum, sitting shotgun and babysitting your little sister. He's not exceptional, but has a wild imagination in which he's never anything less than amazing. It's Amy Poehler. It's an animated series. I'm sure that's going to be quite good fun. Again, no date for that yet. I don't think that's gone out in the US yet. It's going out fairly soon. So it may be fairly soon, but no date yet. Over on Now TV and Sky, Westworld now has a premiere date, and it's actually slightly earlier than we thought it was going to be, because we thought it was going to be the April slot, because that's when it's been previously in that kind of Game of Thrones slot. It's actually a little bit earlier than that. It's going to be the 16th of March at 2 a.m. It's simulcasting with the US on HBO. So yeah, very much looking forward to that. You've watched any of Westworld? I know you don't really do sci-fi.
No. I watched the whole of season one. I sort of binged it over a weekend, and I've got season two. It's one of those situations I talk about at the beginning of the podcast. It's there on my Sky box, all in a complete series. It's just I haven't had the time to watch it.
Yeah.
And it's about, you know, if I get through, if not, you know, I'll watch it on my Now TV stick. I'm sure it would be there just in time.
Yeah, it'll be on the Now TV as well as Sky. So yeah, worth watching. And I'm sure they'll put the second season up as a box set. So over on AMC in the US, they've renewed Better Call Saul for a sixth and final season, which I think if you watch that show, you know that's been coming. The whole thing of becoming Saul Goodman from the kind of shady but sort of slightly more upstanding lawyer to the downright one that deals with two very dubious meth dealers in Breaking Bad, that sort of decline has been coming, and we've been edging closer to it. It always had a lifespan, that series, because eventually you had to bump into Breaking Bad. So I think, yeah, six seasons is a good length for that. I'd rather it did that rather than them trying to sort of string out sort of the time in between. And they've got an endpoint, and that's fine. So yes, sixth and final season for that coming. We've got the next season coming fairly soon. Sky has renewed Britannia for a third season. That's another one that I kind of watched a couple of episodes of but haven't gone back to, but I think I'd probably quite like if I actually sit and binge my way through it. I may go back to it at some point. So there's that. You has been renewed on Netflix for a third season as well. I still haven't made it through the second season yet. I've just had too much other things to watch, but I do really like it. I have seen the first episode of it, but I haven't watched the rest of it.
I mean, I loved season one, and I binged that in the little bit of time between Boxing Day and Christmas, and then season two I did the same this year. I even got my partner into it as well, so we binge watched that and like quite obsessive about it. And then the last clip in the last episode yes, of course there was going to be a season three. And so I'm really pleased. Hopefully next Boxing Day, there goes my days between Christmas and New Year again.
Tick. Yes, yeah. There was just so much stuff around over Christmas and so many things dropped that, I mean, I've got such a lineup of stuff to get through still. I mean, I'm still working through Doom Patrol. I've still got This Is Us to get through as well. And you, and yeah, I can't get to everything. Mm. So yes, War of the Worlds. This not to be confused with the BBC one that went out recently. This is the people are calling the American one, and it actually isn't. It is done by Fox. It's Urban Myth, I think, in Fox that are the people that are behind it. But it's actually a sort of co-European one that's done as part of the Fox kind of European group. So War of the Worlds, that new version, which is a modernized version, it's not set in the original time, apparently has been going down reasonably well where it has gone out, but that's arriving on the 5th of March, and that's on Fox UK with a double bill, and then it'll go to normal one a week after that. But Thursday the 5th of March, that is launching on Fox UK if you want to go and watch that. Oh yeah, I wanted to mention this, despite what you may have seen on some disreputable websites and on Twitter, the Obi-Wan series is not cancelled on Disney+. There was a site whose name I shall not mention, but he's awful and is absolutely renowned for writing horrifically clickbaity articles, put up a story saying, oh, it's cancelled, and it isn't. It was a lie. So it wasn't even a clickbaity headline. It wasn't like, yeah, a clickbaity headline of like, it might be cancelled. It was saying it was cancelled and it isn't. So yes, that's still around. It's all good. Don't worry about that if you saw that news. The Walking Dead World Beyond, season one of that is going to premiere in the US on Sunday, April 12th, which is directly after the Walking Dead finale. And then it's going to be on Amazon Prime, we think the day after, but not 100% sure on that, but think it's going to be the day after in the UK. So that'll be April 13th. One interesting thing with that, though, is they have said it will be two seasons and that's it. So it's a self-contained story of two seasons, which I think is fine. And there were people like, oh, well, I don't know why I'm going to bother watching it if it's already cancelled. And you're like, well, it's not cancelled. It's like a mini-series. It's just a two-season mini-series. There's nothing wrong with that. That's fine. If they've got a story which they think they fit two seasons, then let them tell it in two seasons. And then there'll be some other Walking Dead spin-off, or it'll run straight. I mean, they're not hanging up their hats on Walking Dead anytime soon.
And there's still two movies to come as well, or something like that.
Well, I rather suspect that this, because there are connections to those Rick Grimes movies with the people that are involved in this. So I rather suspect that those two seasons may run straight into those Rick Grimes movies at some point, but we'll have to wait and see. But that's coming in April anyway. If you're a Walking Dead fan and you want to go and watch that, it'll be on Amazon Prime. Mindhunter season three looks like it's been put on indefinite hold, which is a real shame because I like that series. But apparently David Fincher is focusing on directing his first Netflix film, which is called Mank, and producing the second season of Love, Death and Robots. They're saying it's not like completely out of the question whether there'll be a season three, and they're saying he may revisit again some point in the future. But they basically released all the actors from their contracts because they said, you know, whilst David's off doing other stuff, we didn't think it was fair to hold them onto their contracts and you know, not let them go and find other work. So
isn't that refreshingly honest and open from a TV network?
Yeah, exactly. You know, and I mean, I hope he does come back, and I hope they manage to pull them all back together at some point, and it just may be a longer hiatus than, you know, because I do like that series, and I think it went down well and it was interesting, and it sounds like he's just busy doing other things, and it doesn't sound like Netflix have said, no, we don't want it back. It sounds like that he's just busy doing other stuff and the creator hasn't got the time for it at the moment, so we'll see. But yes, indefinite hold is what they're saying at the moment. Over on HBO, they have said that Watchmen, a second season of Watchmen, is extremely unlikely, which, if you've listened to me and Matt talk about this, is like loads of people that are going, oh, this is terrible, they've cancelled it. No, it's not being cancelled. It was only ever designed as a one season show. That was all it ever was supposed to be. Lindelof said from the very beginning that he designed it as a self-contained thing. And he'd been making noises since before it went out, saying, I'm perfectly happy for HBO to continue it. It just probably won't be with me because I had a story to tell. I've told that story. I don't think I've got another one which I think will do it justice. Therefore, I am not doing another series. And that he said that all along. The change from the announcement from HBO, which came out of the television critic press tour, which has been going on in America over the last week, the change that came out was HBO have now confirmed, well, we don't want to do it without Damon Lindelof behind it, so we're not going to commission a second season because if we did, we want him to do it and he doesn't want to do it. So
good on them. Good on them and saying that, because you don't want to reduce the quality of something just because they think it's going to get them more, like, you know, awards or critical reviews. And that's good, I think, for the channel to say that. If it's his piece of work, it also then respects him, doesn't it, as a creator?
Yes. What you don't want is True Detective Season 2.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Or Broadchurch Season 2.
Yes.
Well, yeah, there's all these situations where sometimes a Season 2 just isn't needed.
Yes. And it's just what you don't want is you don't want somebody to come along and make a kind of subpar second season and that kind of slightly taints the first season. Yeah. So, you know, I'm fine with that. I'm absolutely fine with that. It doesn't need another season.
It's not a box set at the moment, which is also another thing I've just discovered. It didn't record properly. So I went on to Sky to try and download the box set and it's not there. They've taken it away for a moment.
It could be that there's sales deals gone on behind the scenes for that, and so
it'll come back in the future, I'm sure.
Well, hopefully, they'll drop it back on at some point. The other big news this week was Sky Comedy. Sky Comedy launches on the 27th of January, and they announced their launch lineup, as well as things that are coming up as well. It replaces the Universal Channel.
Universal Channel.
So the Universal Channel is going. Some of the shows you were mentioning earlier, like the Chicago show, was it Med that was on that?
Chicago Med's gone over, yes. Yeah. One thing I don't know has gone over, I don't know if you know this, is as The Resident.
A lot of people asking about The Resident. There is a set of shows like Burden of Truth, The Resident, Coroner, I think is one as well. There's a few others. Private Eyes, that's another one. There are four or five shows which haven't been moved across. I have been talking to Sky about that. What they are saying is they haven't got anything they can announce at the moment, but they are acutely aware that there is an audience out there for those shows. But the schedulers haven't announced where they're, you know, what they're going to do with them. It does sound like they have got the option of putting those shows somewhere else, presumably Sky Witness, but they aren't anywhere at the moment. So they're in kind of a limbo. Hopefully they will show back up at some point. But at the moment they've not been scheduled anywhere. So we don't know right now. And the press team can't get anything out of the schedulers about what's going to happen with them. So it does sound like Sky still have control of them, because this all came about because of the fact that Universal and NBC are, and Sky are now all part of Comcast, which is why this has happened. So it sounds like Sky does still have the rights and control of them at the moment, but we don't know what's going to happen with them. But yes, on to Sky Comedy. Launches the 27th of January, which is next Monday, I think. They've announced that Miracle Workers, which I've been waiting for this show to land, because this is the Daniel Radcliffe and Steve Buscemi series where Daniel plays an angel and Steve Buscemi plays God. It's the first season of that. That's going out on Monday the 27th at 9 p.m. So that's one of the first shows on there. There is AP Bio that is going on, which has shown to be kicking around for a while. That's 27th at 9:30. That's going on. Real Time with Bill Maher, that is moving across from Sky Atlantic. That's on the 27th of January at 11:45. That lands. Then on the 28th, Curb Your Enthusiasm, that's moving across from Sky Atlantic on the 28th at 9 p.m. Ballers is moving across from Sky Atlantic. That's on the 28th at 9:40. And then if you like those US late night shows, then we're now getting those the day after they air in the US. So the Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon and the Late Late Show with James Corden, both of those are coming across. They're both the NBC late night shows. They're coming from the 28th at 10:50, and they're Jimmy Fallon first and then James Corden afterwards. From early February, they're launching SNL, which is actually airing Sunday, so it's not Saturday Night Live. It will be Sunday Night, not Live. But that is going to be on there from early February. And Righteous Gemstones, which is this huge comedy that they've really been pushing, that is the HBO comedy that's coming early February as well. Last Week Tonight with John Oliver is also moving across from Sky Atlantic onto Sky Comedy. That's coming in February. In terms of box sets and stuff, you've got things like Girls, Parks and Rec, Sex in the City is on there, Veep, Entourage, Mindy Project. There's a whole load of comedy things that they've just dumped of everything on there. So there's going to be a lot more box sets. And of course, these will all be on Now TV as well. So you'll be able to kind of binge your way through huge amounts of comedy stuff.
I currently am trying to crawl my way through Parks and Rec on Amazon. So I wonder if that's going from Amazon and going across to Sky. But I haven't checked my Amazon app for a while. I always feel like I missed a season of the Mindy Project, so gave up on it quite early. I'm quite excited about SNL coming over as well. I think that's, I really enjoyed watching the clips on YouTube, so yeah. It'd be interesting to start watching the full episodes if they're giving them to us. I wonder if they'll ever do like a back catalogue and drop like older ones for us.
I don't know, maybe classic episodes. I don't know. That'll be interesting to see how well that works. But I'm quite intrigued to see SNL because it's been like something like a decade since I didn't even realise it was regularly on TV, but apparently it was regularly on TV here for a bit. But it's been about a decade since it's been on any form of regular UK TV. So I'm glad that they're airing that over here. That should be good fun. On to other news stories. Amazon have ordered a Jack Reacher series, which I think we spoke about ages and ages and ages ago, but they've now actually ordered that Jack Reacher series based on the Lee Child novels. It's not based on the films, which starred Mr. Cruise. They are based directly on the novels. For those people that don't know, Jack Reacher follows the story of an army veteran as he travels the US using his skills to investigate suspicious and frequently dangerous situations. It's the creator of Scorpion that's behind this as the showrunner. Lee Child is involved in exec producing it. It's going to be a version of Jack Reacher who is far more like the book description than Tom Cruise was, because I get the impression that the description in the book is basically The Rock, pretty much. It's like a big, huge, imposing figure. And whatever you think of Tom Cruise, he's not that. So, I think they're going for a casting which is going to be far closer to the book version of it than we've seen before on screen. So, that's fine. That's all good. I'm looking forward to that. I don't know when it's going to be landing, but it is going to be on Amazon Prime globally. So that will be one to look out for if you're a Jack Reacher fan. Over on the CW, we have pickups for Superman and Lois, which is a new Arrowverse series. So that is coming. And Jared Padalecki is, after Supernatural ends, is staying with the CW as well with that Walker Texas Ranger series, which we spoke about a few months ago. The Superman and Lois series, which we mentioned a few weeks ago, that is going to be Tyler Hoechlin and Elizabeth Tulloch are going to be reprising their roles as Superman and Lois. Comes from the Flash executive producer Todd Helberg and, of course, Greg Berlanti, overseer of everything Arrowverse. The idea is that it follows the world-famous superhero and world-famous journalist as they deal with all the stress, pressures and complexity of coming to terms with being working parents in today's society. I don't know how they're going to approach that. As far as I know, that's not piloted or anything. They've just given that a straight to season order by the sounds of it. So that's kind of interesting. I'm surprised that they went for a Superman series when there is a Supergirl series still. I like him as Superman. I think he's good.
Yeah, he's a good Superman.
Yeah, he's a good Superman. So I think that's fine. And the sort of being parents thing is, you remember if you've been watching any of the Supergirl series, you know that they had a kid, or she was about to have a kid. So there's that. This, of course, will all be post the crisis event stuff. So things may change. I don't want to say any more than that because I know a lot of you won't have seen any of the crisis stuff. But yes, so things may change slightly. But yes, there is that coming. We don't know, because there is also the Green Arrow and Canaries spin-off, which is on the cards. Don't know whether that's actually gone out yet in the US or whether it goes out this week. But that is going to be backdoor piloted. So you'll get to see at least the first episode of that as part of the Arrow run, because it's the penultimate episode, which is an odd thing to do for the penultimate episode, but it is the penultimate episode of the this season of Arrow. That sees all the Canaries together with Mere Smoke taking the role of Green Arrow, set in the future universe. We'll have to see whether they end up picking up two Arrowverse series or whether it just ends up being the one, because we don't know at the moment. I mean, they're getting to a point where they could pretty much run Arrowverse 24/7 all the year round on CW, so we'll see. That other big pickup is the reboot of Walker Texas Ranger. This is starring Jared Padalecki, Sam of the Winchester Brothers. This is a reimagining of the 90s action series, which starred Chuck Norris, with Padalecki taking the role of Caldwell Walker, who was the Chuck Norris character. It's a man finding his way back to his family whilst investigating crime in the state's most elite unit. He's a broken widower and a father of two returning home to Austin after being undercover for 2 years in a high-profile case, only to discover that there is even more work to be done at home. In this new version, Walker has a female partner, one of the only female Texas Rangers in history, described as the modern-day heroes our world needs, following their own moral code to fight for what is right, regardless of the rules. It's written by Anna Frick, who was the writer on Wayward Pines, Being Human and Valor. She's also exec producing with Padalecki. So, yeah, I don't know. Do you remember the original Walker Texas Ranger?
I've heard of it, but I never watched it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of old enough to probably have seen it, but it kind of bypassed me, I think. So, I mean, I don't really know the original show. I know it was very popular, but it seemed very of its time, and it's going to be interesting to see how this takes off. I mean, it may just do well just because it's got Jared in it, you know, and it'll be somewhere for the Supernatural fans to go on the CW, but we'll see.
Possibly, yeah, possibly.
We'll see. They will have to have, at some point, if it gets up and continues for a few seasons, they'll have to have a team up with the two of them at some point again in the future and just rope them back in again. So we'll see what happens. Neither of those shows have UK broadcasters yet. Obviously we would hope that the Superman and Lois series goes to Sky after the complete screw up that was the whole Batwoman fiasco. We'll have to see, though. I don't know. But and then Walker Texas Ranger, who knows, it could go anywhere. Moving on, CBS have given a serious commitment to a Silence of the Lambs sequel series. This is from Alex Kurtzman and Jenny Lumet, who are people that are involved with Star Trek Discovery. I mean, Kurtzman is basically overlord of the TV Star Trek universe at this point. The idea is that it follows FBI agent Clarice Starling a year after the events of Silence of the Lambs. It's described as a deep dive into the untold personal story of Clarice Starling as she returns to the field to pursue serial murderers, sexual predators, while navigating the high-stakes political world of Washington, D.C. I mean, they made Hannibal, I guess, so...
Are they going for that route, do you think? Because Hannibal can't be explored anymore, what else can we use from this piece of the fiction?
Yeah. So... Maybe. I mean, the general comment I got was, when I posted this, was if it was more series of Hannibal, I'd be happy, but I'm not sure about this, generally was the reaction. The irony, of course, being the person that did Hannibal was the person that Alex Kurtzman replaced on Star Trek Discovery as well. So it was the same guy that did both shows, and now he's following him doing a Silence of the Lambs thing. So, yes, interesting. I don't know how necessary this series is, but they are sort of wringing it for as much as they possibly can. There is maybe, you know, a female-led FBI drama thing in there. I mean, it'll be on CBS, so it's probably not going to be as dark as Hannibal was, I would think, but who knows? We'll have to see. Again, no UK broadcaster for that yet. I mean, it's CBS, so could be anywhere. And lastly, Sci-Fi, the US channel, has handed out a straight-to-series order to Chucky. This is a Chucky TV series based around the red-haired, freckle-faced doll that possessed the soul of a serial killer. Do you do horror movies? I mean, have you seen these?
I did when I was a child. Maybe that's what's put me off horror films. But listening to all our news stories today, it's like plucked out of my 90s childhood. Like every program has a link to my 90s childhood in some way. But yeah, I remember it. I remember sort of seeing it against my parents' wishes with my sister. And yeah, being a little bit scared by it. But then I sort of learned how funny it was to the later sequels. It just became a little bit ridiculous.
So, I mean, the series of movies started off with Child's Play, and then they latched onto the fact that Chucky was the character that everybody actually wanted to see, and they got progressively more stupid. So there was Seed of Chucky, Curse of Chucky, Cult of Chucky. I think there was some other bits and pieces as well. It's an animated doll that has the soul of a serial killer and goes around murdering things. I mean, that's pretty much all you really need to know about Chucky. They're doing a TV show which is based around that. The doll apparently turns up in a suburban yard sale, which throws an idyllic American town into chaos as a series of horrifying murders begins to expose the town's hypocrisies and secrets. And it's also saying that there's the arrival of enemies and allies from Chucky's past who threaten to expose the truth behind the killings, as well as the demon doll's untold origins as a seemingly ordinary child who somehow became this notorious monster. So, yeah. It's from Don Machini, who was actually the person who wrote the original Child's Play and sort of set up the whole universe and all that sort of stuff. Went on to write for things like Hannibal and wrote Channel Zero as well. So he's going to be serving as showrunner and exec producer. At least it's got the original person behind it, and they can't sort of say, oh, it's destroying it, because it's the guy that created it in the first place that's going to be behind it. Don't know where it may end up yet. It could be on Sci-Fi UK. We don't know how that's going to translate now, because obviously Sci-Fi is part of the NBC Sky network as well now at this point. So we don't know whether that means that we're going to automatically start getting things that are bought by Sci-Fi US, because that was never always previously the case, but that may start happening now. We don't know. We'll have to wait and see.
It's like they're absolutely ploughing the 90s for us at the moment.
Yes.
You know, I'm about the Queen's Nose and Art Attack away from being my complete childhood.
Yeah, they really are ploughing through the 90s right now. But, you know, we've had a bunch of 80s nostalgia. Now we've got some 90s nostalgia. Why not? So that's all the news we've got for this week. Next, we've got the highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week. There's some good stuff coming. We've got Avenue 5, which is the Armando Iannucci series set on a space tourist ship, and things go horribly wrong if you've seen the trailer for that. That's coming to Sky 1 on the 22nd of January at 10 p.m. That stars Hugh Laurie. I'm very, very much looking forward to that. We have Riverdale returning for the second half of season 4. I completely dropped out of that show after the whole second season stupid role-playing game thing that they did. That is on the 23rd of January. We've got a new show called October Faction, which we were talking about a bit last week. This is from Sanctuary creator Damian Kindler, based on a comic book series. That's on the 23rd of January. That is arriving. I might go and check that one out. It looked like it could be interesting. The Bold Type, season 4 of that, is arriving on 24th of January on Amazon Prime. We've got Chilling Adventures of Sabrina back for part 3, or season 3, depending how you're counting it. That is 24th of January on Netflix. Bob's Burgers is back on the 24th of January at 10 p.m. on Comedy Central. The people behind that have just announced there is an Apple series coming called Central Park, about some people that live in Central Park. That's coming later on in the year. So if you like Bob's Burgers, you might want to go and get Apple TV Plus, because they've got that coming on there as well. But 24th of January at 10 p.m. for Bob's Burgers. The Ranch season 4 part 8 final season, that's 24th of January on Netflix. For that is finally the end of The Ranch and their confusing numbering system. Then Star Trek Picard, 24th of January, as we were talking about earlier, that is arriving on Amazon Prime. Go and watch that, it's very good. And we've got Shrill season 2, which is this comedy series starring somebody from Saturday Night Live about a larger woman who wants to change her life but not her body. If you want to see the second season of that, that's coming to BBC Three on the 25th of January. Then all the Sky Comedy stuff we mentioned mentioned earlier. So Miracle Workers, 27th of January at 9 p.m. AP Bio, 27th of January at 9:30. Late Late Show with Jay Corden, 28th at 11:50. You've got Curb Your Enthusiasm on 28th at 9 p.m. Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon, that's 28th at 10:50. And Ballers, 28th at 9:35. For some reason, they're all in the wrong order, but you get the gist. It's basically 27th to 28th for all those.
It's very exhausting this weekend. It's incredible.
Yes.
It feels like October.
I know. It's been ridiculous. And there's been so much news going up as well because of that press event. There's a whole bunch of things that we haven't got to. Like Netflix have landed all the streaming rights to a bunch of Studio Ghibli movies. There's that. Apple announced a whole new bunch of stuff as well. There's been loads of things coming out this week. So go and check out the website because there's stuff going up every day for that. If they want to find and talk to you online, where can they find you?
They can follow me on Twitter at Grey the Geek.
Yes, so go and check out Grey on Twitter. Obviously, for us, you can go to geektown.co.uk throughout the week and find more information on your latest shows and air dates and all that stuff. If you want to get in touch with the podcast, you can get in touch with your questions and comments and email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/geektown, and on Instagram at Geektown UK. Go and check out the YouTube feed for the Star Trek video. Go and check out the podcast feed for more interviews later this week. That's everything. We shall see you next week. Bye bye.
Bye bye. Bow, 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 bow.